Everyone that is present here in the sanctuary this evening, Father God, I pray that their ears will be open to hear your word, their hearts open also to receive your word. I pray, Father, that their lives will be changed, not because of me, but because of your word and because of your presence. Hallelujah. I pray, Father God, everyone that's watching by way of live streaming, whether it be live or whether they tune in later on, Father God, I pray that you will touch their hearts. Father, I pray that you will minister to them. I pray, Father God, that their lives will be changed. I pray, God, that they will understand that there is an answer to life. Jesus Christ is that answer. Your word, your holy word is the answer to every need that we have, every problem that we face. The answer is found in you, Father God. And I pray, Father, that they will receive and understand that you are their answer and that they'll call out to you for help. Touching you with their faith here this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for your anointing upon men to call upon my life. And that's where I'm resting right now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I know it seems like I keep repeating myself when I say this, but I want to say it again. I'm going to say it again because really faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. Y'all still with me? Amen. If you're with me out there, let me see your hands. Praise God. Let me see your hand. I just want to know you're with me. Praise God. If you're with me out there, raise your hand. Amen. Glory to God. Faith comes by hearing and not by having heard. So, therefore, we need to hear things again. We need to hear things more than once. When it comes to the Word of God, don't ever take the attitude, I've heard that enough, because you haven't. Amen. We eat our daily food every day, you know, unless you're fasting or something of that nature. We eat every day. If we have food to eat, we eat every day. You know, I haven't heard anybody say that, you know, I've eaten once in my life, I've eaten twice, and so I'm never going to eat again. You know, that's just repetitious. Why eat again? Well, of course, you know you got to eat. If you want to stay alive, you're going to die. If you don't, you'll starve to death. If you do not eat, why? Because your body needs nourishment, doesn't it? Yeah, our bodies need nourishment. Amen. The food that we eat is our energy. It's what keeps us going. Amen. It keeps us vibrant in every area of our physical being, our emotional being. But guess what? We need the Word of God to keep us going. Amen. We need the nourishment of the Word of God. Now, that's the reason Jesus said, man shall not live and cannot live by bread alone, but it must be by every word of God. That's what's going to keep you strong. Amen. You hear me? It's going to keep you strong. Praise God. Now, I think we might have one or two weightlifters in here. You still lift weights? Yeah. And who else lift weights in here? All right. We got a few that are weightlifters in here. I want to tell you something. Brothers, if you guys didn't eat, you wouldn't lift weights. If you didn't eat, you wouldn't have the ability. You'd be too weak to lift the weights. Hallelujah. But guess what? If we don't feed on God's word, we're going to be too weak to lift the weights. We can't handle the resistance. And that's the problem in the body of Christ today. There's too many of his people that can't handle the resistance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, having said all of that, this is where I'm going. Whatever you do, saints of God, whatever you do, rebuke and stand against the spirit of fear. You've heard me say it before. You heard other ministers say it. Stand against the spirit of fear. The news media is not the Bible. And besides, many times we're getting mixed messages anyway. We're getting contradictions. Rebuke the spirit of fear. It is hurting too many people. This virus, it's real, and people have died because of it. But I want to tell you, if you allow yourself to be paralyzed by fear, fear itself will kill you. I guess that's where the phrase, I don't use it myself, and I hope you don't either, but you've heard the phrase and maybe you've said it. Now, I've said it in my life, sometime in my life. I don't say this anymore, but there's a phrase you hear people say, I am scared to death. You've heard that, right? Oh, you like to scare me to death. Oh, you frighten me to death, almost. Well, you know what they're acknowledging, though, is that fear will kill you. Now, this is not my message. We're going on to that, but I want to get this across to you. Fear will kill you. Your body, listen to me, your body was not created to carry fear. Your body was not created to carry fear and worry and pressure. Nowadays, you go to the doctor, one of the things they ask you is, during your doctor visit, are you depressed about anything? You know, anybody been asked that when you go to the doctor? Yeah. Are you stressed? Well, we're not supposed to be stressed. We're not supposed to carry the heavy burden. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to cast them over on Jesus. Cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. Amen? Go after truth and trust God. Seek truth in any situation, even when it comes to this coronavirus or anything else you face in life. As much as is possible, learn the truth. Amen. One of my prayers is, Lord, help me never, ever to believe a lie. Help me, Lord, not to believe a lie. Help me learn the truth so that I can walk in the truth that I know. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So watch out for fear. Watch out for fear. Amen. Stand against it. Well, shout hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want y'all to forgive me. My wife told me this past Sunday, which she told me a number of times, and I apologize for that. I just got up here and I started preaching. I didn't tell y'all what my subject was or anything. But anybody that's been here in the other services, you know what my subject was, simply because all I did is just picked up pretty much where I left off. But tonight, Wednesday night, my subject once again is understanding our relationship with Christ, understanding our relationship with Christ. And I'm teaching that based on Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, there are many other references that I could preach from, teach from, whatever, but I'm preaching from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. And verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And so we talked about last week, we talked about Jesus on the boat, didn't we? Amen. Amen. And I'm not going to reteach that, but we talked about him being on the boat and how he had to correct his disciples and actually rebuke them because of their lack of faith. Jesus said, we're going over to the other side, and they all got in the boat and they headed to the other side, and Jesus went to sleep, didn't he? If you were here last week, you know it. Jesus went to sleep, and in the meantime, a storm came up. And water, the boat was taking on water, and the disciples became fearful, and they really kind of rebuked the Lord, really, and asked him a question. You don't care that we are perishing here. Here you are sleeping, and this boat about to sink. Don't you even care? And of course, Jesus ask them why are you so fearful and why do you have no faith? How many of you know God wants us to walk in faith?
Yeah.
Amen. How many of you know God wants us to live by the word?
Yeah.
He wants us to live by the word. And so, and I'm just reviewing quickly here, but what they forgot, was that Jesus said, let's go to the other side. It wasn't Peter that said it. It wasn't John that said it. It was Jesus that said, let's go to the other side. Amen. And when those words came out of his mouth, guess what? Those words became eternal. That's the reason we're talking about them tonight. Amen. They are in the Bible, where Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, if Jesus said, let's go to the other side, guess what? You're going to the other side.
Yeah.
Amen? You're going to the other side. He means it. Well, there's two reasons. One, I didn't cover last time. They had to get to the other side because Jesus said, let's go to the other side. But point number two, there was a man on the other side that needed his help. Man that was full of devils that needed deliverance. Now, the devil would have loved for that boat to sink. Now, don't get upset with me and say, ooh, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. But you know what? I believe there's a real possibility that them devils got the storm stirred up. Now, I said I believe. I could be wrong. But let me tell you something. We were talking earlier about resistance. There was resistance to them getting to the other side. How many of you know the devil don't want folks set free? He don't want folks set free. And so we know they went to the other side, and this man met them full of the devil. And I won't go over the whole story, but Jesus cast the devils out. The devils went into the swine. They ran down the hill into the lake or pond or whatever it was, and they all drowned. But the man was set free. Hear me good. The man was set free. So when Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, he was going over to the other side to get somebody set free. And the devil was not going to stop it. Let me tell you something. Now, I'm going to move on, but you have to understand. When Jesus said, you ready for this? When Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, he already had the faith to get there. Y'all. You follow me on that? No wonder he could go to sleep. He spoke his faith. Let's go over to the other side. We're going to the other side. The word was spoken. Sometimes we don't get any sleep because we worry about things. We worry about this. We worry about that. And so we have sleepless nights. Can I help you with something? God does not want you, write this down if you will, and those of you that's listening to me out here, God does not want you to have a sleepless night unless he's waking you up to pray. Or unless he's waking you up because he has something he wants to tell you. But God does not want you laying awake at night worrying and fretting. That's not going to change a thing. It's not going to change a thing. So when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, he spoke the word of faith. It was established. We're going to the other side. So you know, he was tired. I'm sure he was tired because he went to sleep, laid down and went to sleep. Had a busy day, I suppose. So he went to sleep. So it was a settled issue. They're going to the other side. So when the storm came up to resist them, even if the disciples had not awakened Jesus, I don't know what would have happened or how it would have happened, but I can tell you this much, Jesus Christ would not have drowned. Neither would the disciples have drowned. They was in the boat with the Lord. Y'all still with me? They were in the boat with the Lord. They would not have drowned. Would Jesus have woke up and rebuked the storm on his own? Maybe. We don't know. We don't know. Or maybe the devil just got frustrated and said, oh, what's the use? You know, and the wind ceased and the waters calmed down. We don't know how that would have happened, but here's what we do know. Jesus was going to the other side because there's someone on the other side that needed a touch from him. Y'all still here? Hallelujah. I'm so glad God was able to get to me one day. God was able to get to you one day. Hallelujah. God was able to get to you one day. Glory to God. And it also lets us know, doesn't matter how bad our situation is. When Jesus spoke to the devil, he asked me, he says, what's your name? And his response from the devil was, Legion, for we are many. I guess he was the chief spirit, but there were many devils in that man. And the Bible says he cut himself and he lived in the cemetery, in the graveyard. That's where he lived. How many of you know that's bondage? But Jesus was coming to set him free. Jesus was coming to set him free. Amen. And I don't It don't matter how bound you are out there. I want you to know Jesus will come and set you free. He'll set you free. He loves you that much. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know the story, I suppose. And the man got set free and praising God. And when Jesus got ready to leave, the man wanted to go with Jesus. But what did he say? No. Not because he didn't, you know, he was rejecting the man. But he told him, he says, no, go and tell your family and all those around the good things that God has done for you. No wonder the devil tried to stop it. No wonder the devil tried to drown them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I thought I would have gotten one or two more amens and a few hallelujahs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let me keep going here. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, let me say it this way, about halfway down. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, let me tell you something. If the devil can't completely take your faith, steal your faith, he will try to convince you to doubt God. He'll try to convince you that God did not really mean what he said. Y'all still with me? God didn't really mean what he said. So he'll try to plant doubt in your mind. Well, you know, if you believe in God for healing, or if you believe in God for something and trust in God for something, and if you don't believe God's going to do it for you, guess what? It's not likely to happen. The Bible tells us not to doubt God. Believe what he said. Amen? Hallelujah. We're living in a time now where he wants us to doubt God. There are folks now that used to preach the Bible that no longer believe there's a heaven. Some don't believe there's a hell. Some don't believe God really loves you. And that's one of the biggest lies of the devil right there. God doesn't love, God don't love you. God don't love you. How many of you that's come to your mind, God, at some point in time in your life, God don't love me? Or you may, or it may be this way, I wonder if God loves me. Well, see, that's a lie. God loves us. Amen?
Amen.
God loves us, period. Try to get us to doubt God's provision. Try to get us to doubt God's protection. Hallelujah. In Psalm 91, he says he gives his angels charge over us to protect us in all of our ways, to bear us up lest we dash our foot against a stone. Praise God. God will watch over us. Now, I want you to get this one. Please listen to me real good. We're living in a time now when seems like that marriage is about to become extinct. You know, just live together, shack up. And because, I mean, they've been talking about shacking ever since I was a teenager. Matter of fact, there used to be an old word. Please don't go look it up. But there's a worldly song I used to hear when I was a teenager about shacking. But you know what? The enemy wants to tell us that as Christians, we don't have to live a pure life. Just live any way you want to. You know, have as much sex as you want to have. Don't have to be your wife. Don't have to be your husband. After all, that's your business. But let me tell you something. God is calling his people to purity. Now, understand, the world's going to do their thing. You know that, right? Huh? The world is going to do their thing. God's talking to his people. He's talking to his people. Amen? He's talking to his people. Live a pure life. Now, some would tell you, you don't have to live a pure life. God understands. So you see a pretty woman out there. She's sexy and she's all shapely and she's all this. You know, God understands you're a man. After all, he was the one who made you a man. So God understands. Go for it. One fella used to tell folks, well, you know, just go ahead and do it, but just make sure you ask God to forgive you afterwards. Listen, folks, God wants his people to live a pure and holy life. Hallelujah. I don't care if sister such and such or brother such and such, because I'm not going to say a name, because I don't want to get nobody upset when he was talking about me. No, sister such and such or brother such and such, if they say it's okay, God didn't say it's okay. And God does have the last word. Amen. God's called us to purity. God's called us to holiness. Amen. Everybody say holiness.
Holiness.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. And I hope I wrote right. Okay. 1 Peter. We'll begin reading at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Now, how many of you know this is written to us Christians? Verse 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, notice how it's written here. As obedient children. Well, if you are a child of God, then you are classified as his children. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust in your ignorance. But, look at verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That's in the Bible, folks. God tells us, to be holy in our conduct. Hallelujah. Husbands are to love their wives, and they go home to their wives. Wives are to love their husbands, and they go home to their husbands. I know you don't hear this preached too much, but it's the truth anyway. I'm going to read verse 15 again. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God is saying, be like me. Well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I know you're telling us the truth, and I know I need to change the way I'm living, but Pastor, I just can't do it. I tried and I couldn't do it. I tried and I couldn't do it. That's the reason God gave us the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is our helper. He is our helper. He will help us if we will allow him to help us. Hallelujah. Now, we don't want to take the attitude and tell the Holy Spirit, I'm going in here. You wait out here till I come back. No, if you're born again, he's going in there with you. He's going right in there with you. And he's going to be grieving, because the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. He's going to be grieving while you're in there getting drunk, high, or whatever it is you're doing and you know that you shouldn't be doing. He's right there with you. And he's also telling you to get out of that place, or to stop doing whatever it is you're doing. How many of you have a keen conscience? Go ahead and raise your hand. You got a keen. Well, I raised mine. I hope you got a sharp conscience. I hope it's not dull. Amen. You know, because of walking with the Lord and spending time with the Word in the Word of God and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if something's not right, if I'm about to do something that's not right, if I'm about to say something that's not right, I want to know about it. If I say something to someone that wasn't kind, they took it the wrong way, and the Spirit of God convicts me about it, I need to go ahead and make it right with that person. But you need to be sensitive to him in order to do that. I've seen people, and I've seen Christians, man, they hurt your feelings just like that. Say this, and it won't even bother them. Some of them don't even know what they're saying is wrong. Some of them don't even realize what they're doing is wrong, because they have not sharpened themselves through the Word of God. Hallelujah. He will teach you. He will teach you. We need to become sensitive. Hallelujah. Not saying that we're perfect, but we need to become sensitive. Be quick to repent. Now, some say you don't have to repent at all. You know, you're saved, you're good, you're good to go. I haven't seen that in the Bible. I have seen 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Haven't y'all seen that there? Amen. Praise God. We still human. We still mess up sometimes. But I want to tell you something. When You become sensitive to the Holy Spirit and keep your eyes in the Word of God. You miss it less and less and less. Nobody's perfect, folks. Amen. I'm looking at y'all, and y'all are the most beautiful people. Thank God for each and every one of you. I love you. But I'm looking at imperfect people. And so am I. Hallelujah. We imperfect people. That's the reason we have to do what the Bible says. Continually renew our mind. Continually renew our mind all the time. We're continually maturing in the things of God. Hallelujah. But don't fall for those who tell you, oh, don't worry about that. That's normal. That's just normal life. Yeah, we can all be tempted. But it's what you do with the temptation that counts. Everybody can be tempted. Let me say that again. Everybody can be tempted. But being tempted and acting on that temptation is two different things. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's move on. But anyway, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. We still have to live a pure life. We still have to live a holy life, and God will help us do that. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, third chapter of Genesis. Genesis 3. Remember, I said the devil will always try to convince you to doubt what God has said. In Genesis chapter 3, you know the story of Adam and Eve, and I won't go through the whole thing, but Eve had a meeting with the devil. She had a little meeting with the devil, or you might want to say the devil had a meeting with Eve. So in Genesis chapter 3, I want to begin reading at verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" All right. Now he's trying to plant doubt in her mind. She knew what God said, right? She knew what God said. God said, "The tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree." You know what God said? Amen. Amen. But the devil says in verse 1, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, verse 2, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Amen. Now, I don't know if Eve added that or what, but God says don't eat of it. All right. Eve said, God said don't eat it and don't even touch it. That's what she says, lest you die. But listen to the serpent in verse 4. "Then the serpent," which is the devil, "then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die." Wow. Wow. Now understand something. I'm going to read on. When she ate the fruit, she did not die physically, not then. But when she and Adam ate the fruit, guess what? They died spiritually. They died spiritually. Verse 4 again. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God knows." Oh, by the way, let me tell you something. That same devil is still alive today, deceiving people. Same devil that was in the Garden of Eden is still crawling around, deceiving people. Deceiving some Christians. You have to understand something. Eve was in her perfect state. There was no sin in the garden. She was in a perfect state. The devil went after her in her perfect state. And he knew in order to conquer her, he had to deceive her. He had to get her, he had to convince her to doubt what God had already said. You ever notice when you're dealing with the cults, people that are involved in cults, one of the things they want to get you to do is doubt what you already know to be the truth. All right, I got to move on. Verse 4 again. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That's crazy. Your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. I wish I had never known evil. I wish I had never had an experience with evil. I don't want to know evil. But he deceived her. Oh, no. God's hiding something from you, little sister. There's some things he don't want you to know. There are people hurting today because they knew evil. There are people hurting today because they had a visitation from evil. Young ladies that's been molested and raped, and they're still today battling with that thing. Maybe young men that's been molested, still this thing still tugging at them. And by the way, Jesus Christ will set you free. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are, male or female, he will set you free. But you don't want to know evil. Evil is a terrible thing. But Satan told her, "Oh, no. God's trying to keep something from you. He don't want you to be like him, knowing good and evil." Well, all she knew was good. She was in a perfect state. Oh, by the way, can I let y'all in on something? Oh, hallelujah. Can I let y'all in on something? It's coming again. When we will be in a perfect state and we will not ever have to deal with evil or sin again. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you see, the first Adam failed. But the second Adam won the victory for us. His name is Jesus. I said, his name is Jesus. What the first Adam lost, the second Adam took back. It wasn't given to him. He took it back. Oh, hallelujah. I gotta wind this up. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. The Apostle John talks about that as well, and we don't have time to go there tonight. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Wow. You notice the Bible talks about Adam high treason, Adam fallen, not Eve. Eve was deceived. The Bible says that she was deceived. Said the devil was subtle, cunning. He deceived her. But her husband, Adam, that looks delicious. And he took a bite and messed it up for all of us. Now, as bad as that is, folks, I still hope Adam made it to heaven. I do. Praise God. I forgive him for that. How about y'all? If you forgive him, raise your hand. If you out there, if you forgive Adam for messing up your life, my life, you forgive him for that. You know what? Jesus took it back. Everything that we lost. I gotta move on. Verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you see that? The devil told Eve, this fruit will make you wise. You are no good and you are no evil. But now they're hiding from God. So they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Fear. See that? And I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And I'm going to close with this one here. You know, men need to be men. Amen. But when a man ain't right with God, sometimes he can't be a man. A husband need to be a husband. So what did Adam say? And I'm closing. What did he say? Then verse 12, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, she gave me of the tree and I ate. He blamed it on his wife. Coward. He blamed it on his wife. The Bible did not say Eve put a chokehold on Adam and told him, if you don't eat this fruit, I'm going to break your neck. No, that's not what it said. The Bible says she gave to him and he ate. And they realized they were naked, sewed fig leaves. Here comes God, now they're afraid. They knew they were naked. And God wants to know, why did you do this? And Adam said, woman, you gave me. Notice how he said that. He didn't say, my wife gave me. He didn't say Eve gave to me. He's saying, God, it's your fault. If you had not given me this woman, I would not be in the condition that I am right now. That excuse is not going to get it. You're getting ready to get kicked out the garden, buddy. He blamed it on his wife. Husbands, when you mess up, don't blame it on your wife. Can I get an amen out there somewhere?
Amen.
I asked for the husband to say amen out there, and all the ladies in here said amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God, though, for Jesus, who won our victory back for us again. But remember that all started when the devil began to cast doubt on what God had said, when he began to question what God had said. He couldn't just rush right in and say, woman, eat this fruit. No. He had to convince her to do it. Where was Adam at that time? I believe he was close by. This is just my opinion. I believe he heard the whole conversation. I believe he was watching the whole thing. And he ate. The Bible didn't say anything about him resisting. Resisting. Says she gave it to him and he ate. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise for your, we give you praise for your, we give you praise for your, we give you praise for your.